This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Well, they've gone and done it. The American Medical Association has officially recognized obesity as a disease like cancer or the common cold. Can you now catch obesity from a friend and spread it? Are there pills being developed to fight it? Will there someday be walks to fund research into it? You know what? I would not be at all surprised. Let's talk with cardiologist Dr. James Markham about obesity and how we should approach it, label it, and treat it. Dr. Markham, what do we need to know?
Well, thanks for having me on today, Charles, and I'm glad so much that you're talking about all these different topics. And what I've tried to do is I try to search the newspapers and literature across America to see what leading journalists and editorialists are writing about and interested in, because I know if they're putting it in our newspapers and periodicals, our listeners are also interested.
Yes.
However, they give their spin on things. We want to give the HeartWise spin on things as well, and let our listeners decide what works with them. Well, the New York Times News Service, you know, has recently reported, and I read this in the newspaper today, that the American Medical Association, that's one of the larger groups of physicians, has officially recognized obesity as a disease. Mm-hmm. Now, that's interesting, Charles, because, you know, someone's going to fill out, do you have any diseases or condition on your employment form?
Yes.
And you're going to have to say yes, and they're going to say what it is. So we're going to have to talk about this a little bit today. Now, that move reportedly was done to encourage physicians to take a more active role with their patients who have this condition. And I must admit, I see patients every day in the office. You know, you have to gently approach this problem. You want to love people and not judge them. And some doctors are afraid to go down that road because if you say too much, they might not come back to you. They might find someone else. They might get offended. So in this article that the New York Times reported on, that they said recognizing obesity as a disease will help the medical community tackle this complex issue now affecting 1 in 3 Americans. Mm-hmm. Now, this was a statement by Patrice Harris, who was a member of the association's board. Now, we're going to talk about this, whether that will really make a dent or not.
Yeah.
Well, when thinking about this and talking about this, I'm unsure what this means, since the definition of what constitutes disease is even still debated. But even though the AMA has no authority, even though it has one of the nation's largest physicians group, I do think it is important to focus on obesity.
Yes.
Now, whether this is disease or whatever label, I'm not sure. And I think it's dangerous to call this a disease. Because if you call obesity a disease, well, do you call smoking a disease?
Yes, yes.
Do you call not wearing a seatbelt a disease?
Yeah.
Do you call dangerous activities a disease? Do you say, well, I didn't take my tetanus vaccine. Is that a disease?
Mm.
So risk and disease, I'm not sure I deal with it, but I can see why they want to do this. They want physicians to get involved. They think if they can pay a physician to address it as a disease, they maybe can bill for talking about it. I don't know, but I'm sure
okay.
that there's some type of money involved in all of this.
Yes, yes. My first thought was, you know, they're going to have obesity pills. They're going to have an obesity procedure here, and it's all going to be covered by insurance because this is now a disease. I saw dollar signs the minute I read this thing.
Yes, and in fact, Morgan Downey, who writes a column on the internet, he's publisher of the online Downey Obesity Reports, believes that it might improve reimbursement.
Yeah.
So you're right about that.
Yeah.
Now, here's an interesting thing. This comes out when two new obesity drugs, one that's called Quesmia, Q-U-Y-S-M-I-A, and Belviq, B-E-L-V-I-Q, have now entered the market. Now, I've been around for a few years now. There's been a lot of obesity pills that have entered the market through the years.
Yeah.
Fen-phen was one that I remember. It's now off the market because it hurt people.
Yes.
But there's been other pills that have been around. None of them have been proven to be effective long term. Many have caused serious problems and they had to be removed from the market.
Yeah.
They often speed up metabolism, which raises the risk of heart disease. Well, these two new ones are coming out. And all of a sudden, I look in the newspaper in Health Across America, we hear more and more advertising for different obesity groups. We have different groups that have supplements, which speeds up the metabolism. We have different groups saying that bariatric surgery, that includes banding of the esophagus, where they make the esophagus too narrow so you can't eat as much, and gastric bypass, where they bypass the stomach and make it smaller, as ways to go. They often say this, that this is more effective in diabetes than giving medicine. Everyone out there, if you look in the literature, has a new diet plan.
Yeah.
But the question I want to throw out there is not so much what the treatment is a couple things. Why do we have the problem?
Yeah.
Okay, why are there so many products on the market, and why are the rates of obesity soaring? And why do we need to call obesity a disease in the first place? If we can understand the reason why, I think we have a much greater chance of dealing with this. So that's what I want to talk about today. I agree that this is one of the nation's greatest health issues, okay? Mm-hmm. But let's talk about, you know, and I don't want them to focus on, you know, getting reimbursed and for sitting down with patients and finding out the why for each individual. That's important. But I think the long-term plan is for patients, not doctors, to really say, well, why am I doing this? Why do I have extra weight? Let me come back to a solution. Now, doctors should mention it, but the why might be different for each individual. And this usually involves complex reasons. It usually involves the brain, involves relationships, and it's not as simple as telling someone to take a pill or eat less or exercise more. There are other important considerations that I want to talk about today.
And the doctor may not be able to look that far into the life of that person and really understand why.
Perfect. And that's not going to happen in 10 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. All he's going to be able to do is remind them a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the treatment for this is a complexity. But when we start realizing the complexity of the problem, then that's when we can start talking about the reasons. With 2 in 3 people affected, rising rates of diabetes, heart disease, joint problems, sleep apnea, all these diseases of the mind, including depression and anxiety, we have to do more than just call this condition a disease. We have to do more than just come up with some new medicines. We have to do more than just come up with some bariatric surgery, okay? And this is what I want to really talk about. I know we're coming up to break in a little bit, Charles, but you know, getting into this, I think we have a couple minutes here. We can at least start in it.
Yes,
okay?
I think so.
My approach to this, and I want everyone sitting down, that the first approach that you do is realizing is this might be a problem for you. That's the very first place to start. And then once a person says, yeah, you know, it is a problem for me, okay, that's the start, okay? A lot of people don't even realize it's a problem. You know, our metabolism slows down 1% per year.
Yeah.
So if you eat the same amount, and let's say you weigh 200 pounds, you're going to gain 2 pounds a year.
Yeah.
And over 5 years, that's 10, and over 20 years, that's 20, even if you eat the same amount of food. Genetics is also playing a role. You know, some people just have fast metabolisms. My grandfather was a great example. He could eat all day long and never gain anything.
I hate those people. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there are people out there, and there's some people that really do have slower metabolisms. There's also things that we have to do to look at that regulates metabolism, whether it be a thyroid disease, a sedentary lifestyle regulates metabolism. So these are all things that help. So the first thing, I'm sort of digressing here. The first thing on our list, we don't want to call diseases, recognizing. Question number one, do you consider yourself carrying extra weight? And be honest, you know, we're telling you this not because, you know, we want to get on you, but because we want to help you understand the reason why.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So you do that first. The second thing I like to do, now you have to have a lot of time with the patient. The second thing I like to have a person do is say, listen, what's going on in your brain? Okay. That's important. Are you happy? Are you unhappy? Are you depressed? Are you anxious? A lot of people out there eat because they're either depressed or sad or anxious. Now, that's one group of people. Then I try to separate. Are you eating for treatment for some mental illness or some relaxing? Now, some people just do it out of habit and they don't even know that they're doing it. And so I try to group those people. Are you eating to help the brain? Or are you eating because there's something that's going on in your social situation where you think that's something you absolutely have to do? So the first two things before we go to break, I want our listener to think about, we're going to talk about this more after break, in understanding whether this is a disease or not a disease is asking, if you're overweight, why? And do you eat, is it something that's going on mentally in your life? Is there something anxiety, depressed, or are you eating out of habit? Those are the first two things I want to start with, Charles, when we get back after break.
You know, it's very important and very unique that you do this, because you are asking us to take part in our own healing. You are asking us to be our own physician to begin with, to recognize problems so that when we go see you, when we go see physicians, we can come knowledgeable and say, you know, doc, I think I have these problems and here may be some of the causes, because as you learned in school, the patient usually knows more about their disease than you do. Am I right?
Absolutely, Charles.
All right. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, more with Dr. Markham about the disease called obesity. What's going on with that? So everybody stay right where you are.
Hey, Rico. You want a soda?
No, thank you.
What's the matter with you?
What do you mean?
You used to love soda. Now all you drink is that stuff that comes out of the faucet.
You mean water?
Yeah, water. How boring is that?
Not boring, healthy. Water isn't loaded with sugar.
Hey, a little bit of sugar never hurt anyone.
True, but soda doesn't just have a little bit. It has a lot.
How much is a lot?
Well, take that cola you're drinking. Inside that can is over 10 teaspoons of sugar.
10? In here?
Yep. And not only that, you're dumping a bunch of chemicals and preservatives down your throat, too. Your body has to deal with all that junk. Trouble is, when it's trying to protect you from what you're drinking, it has to spend less time helping you build muscles and keeping your organs working properly. Besides, all that sugar is just helping to make people fat. And being fat certainly isn't good for you. So that's why I'll just stick with plain old boring but healthy water.
How about low sugar sodas? They're okay, right?
Well, they do have less sugar, but you're still getting a bunch of chemicals and preservatives. So what do you have against water?
It's not manly to sip water. How many macho men do you see sipping water?
You're 11 years old.
Then I want to be a macho kid.
So why not be a healthy macho kid?
I see your point. I guess being fat and sick isn't macho either, so go ahead and pour me a glass of water. But put it in a dirty glass.
You are so weird.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. James Markham. We're talking about something called a disease now, according to the American Medical Association. That's obesity. Is it really a disease, and should we treat it as such? And if so, in what ways should we treat it? And Dr. Markham is sitting here with us talking about how we can begin the journey to healing by recognizing in ourselves if we have a problem, and then asking ourselves, why do we think we have the problem? Are we having a mental problem? Do we suffer from depression? Are we unhappy? Are we sad? These can all affect the amount of food we put in our bodies and the reason why we put that food. Not only what we put there, but how we put it there and when we put it there. Dr. Markham, what do we need to know next?
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about obesity. Is it a disease, you know, or is it a symptom, or what is it? You know, and I'm not going to classify it in my mind as a disease. Mm-hmm. I don't really think the solution for our listeners necessarily is to take a new medication, even though some people that might be something that they might want to entertain. I don't think it's necessary to have bariatric surgery or gastric bypass, even though that some people might benefit from that. There's small subgroups. It's very individual. I don't think that there's a necessarily a fad plan or taking these supplements. And most of the supplements that help you lose weight usually have ingredients that speed up the metabolism. Mm-hmm. Some type of thyroid ingredient, something that speeds up the metabolism, is sort of a caffeine related, let me increase your metabolism. That is not a long-term solution to these problems. Unfortunately, not a lot of research has been done, but I want all of our listeners to understand that it is important, because even though obesity is not a, might not be a disease for you right now, mm-hmm. it can lead to big problems.
There
it can lead
go.
To heart
there
disease. It go. Can lead to cancer. It can lead to diabetes. It can lead to sleep apnea. Some people that are heavy can have problems with depression and self-esteem and anxiety, work-related issues. So there's a complex issue that we need to talk about.
I think of obesity as a garden in which disease can grow.
Oh,
how
that's
about that?
Good. That is really good, Charles. So in helping people, you know, they're suggesting that the doctor should talk about it in the office. And what I'm arguing is you don't have time to do that.
Yes.
It's too complex. Okay.
Yes.
But I want our listeners to realize it is a complex issue. And if you're sitting out there and you might struggle with this problem, as 6 of 10 people do, first of say, is it a problem for you?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing we talked about a little bit is it due to something that might not be right in the brain?
Yeah.
Is there some stressor in your life that's forcing you to eat? You eat out of depression or to make yourself happy or to, you know, why do you eat? And the second thing is some people just eat out of habit.
Yeah.
You know, they
yeah.
just do it out of habit. Yeah. They don't think twice about it. So those are the first two groups. I did a study a few years ago on a lot of people, and I wanted to understand, well, what would help them to keep weight off over a long period of time. And we started with a lot of people, and you know, all of them came, I think most of the people wanted a quick fix.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, from what I've learned, there is no quick fix to this problem.
Mm-hmm.
So in our meetings, what we did, Charles, the first thing we did is we sat down and we went over all of the different things that help people lose weight. We talked about speeding up your metabolism with exercise.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about drinking water, very important. We talked about not eating big at night. We talked about making sure that we ate lots of fruits and vegetables. We talked about not eating foods which trigger the brain to feel like it needs more food.
Yes.
We talked,
yes.
you know, just recently I read about soft drinks. Soft drinks now, even though no calorie soft drinks, has basically chemicals in it that tricks the brain.
That's right.
And the brain thinks they have to eat more.
That's
you know,
right.
So we talked about all of that stuff and that we came to that. But also we talked a little bit about relationship. We talked about relationship with each other and encouragement. We also talked about relationship with God, who gives us the power mm-hmm. to change things, to be happier, to see things in a different light. So we studied this group for at least 1 year. And then we went back and saw, well, what did the people that continued to come to the meetings, the people that continued to lose weight and keep the weight off, what did they have all in common? And we found out that the people that had the most success were the people that had relationships, relationships with God, relationships with each other. And then in exploring this, it started to make sense. You know, we talk about the world that we live under. It causes a lot of stress. People make a chemistry of fear and anxiety, and the brain wants to have peace. And sometimes the peace is found by eating food, and it helps the brain chemistry, these dopamine receptors and these endorphins. They feel good when you eat certain foods. So some people eat because of all the stress in the world. And we found out that as this relationship grew, it gave people the power to sort of break the tendencies that they've had for years and years, these strong neural pathways mm-hmm. that have been going on, that have been promoted by the, let's face it, the media hasn't helped us in this epidemic.
No.
You know, supersize me. How about the invention of the all-you-can-eat buffet? You know, that didn't help very much either.
No.
You know, how about coming back for more?
Yes.
But so the media hasn't helped us with this very much, but we had to sort of do something to combat it. So once people realize the world's not out there to help us, the world's actually out there, even though there's articles like this saying it's a disease, and even though there's treatment for the disease, it doesn't get at the cause.
Yeah.
And everyone's sort of feeding us and not getting at the cause. So when we look at, you know, these relationships, why we do what we do, we realize that people that had relationship with God, where God sort of helped them learn about the things that they do to help lose weight and give them the power to make changes one at a time, those people had the most success.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you call obesity a disease, I don't think it should. But the real solution that I'm going to throw out there today, all these treatments that we mentioned might have a place in certain individuals. But I also think the major thing that needs to be focused on is for the treatment of this is relationship.
You're talking accountability here, whether it's a relationship with God or with other people. You're talking accountability.
Exactly. Do I have a relationship with God that's going to help me move through these things for the right reasons?
Yes.
Do I have relationships with friends and counterparts that's going to help me, and a doctor and loving people that are going to help nurture me as I slowly make these changes? Mm-hmm. Do I have that relationship going? It's not so much what you do, Charles, you know, it's why you do what you do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people do bad things, you know, but why do they do bad things? What's in their brain that's causing it? A lot of people don't do bad things, but they have bad things in your brain that's going on, and that's just as bad.
Yes, that's right. That's
so right. If we can understand why people are overeating, why people carry extra weight, and deal with that cause, which, and I think it's a lot of it has to do with relationships, mm-hmm. relationships with God that might not be as good as it, relationships with other people. If we can focus on these things, love people and not judge them, and then bringing back the truth of these basic concepts, you know, eating healthy, more fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains, more water, which speeds up your metabolism, daily exercise. We didn't even mention the importance of rest. How many people take a weekly rest? How many people take a nightly rest? These are also important in regulating your metabolism. These are the things that I think that we should start writing about and talking about in the media. Not the newest pill, not the newest weight loss thing, not the newest diet fad, but general principles that will help people realize why they do what they do. When we start doing this, we're going to start moving towards the solution and not create a bunch of treatments that might not fix the problem. Does that make sense to you, Charles?
It makes absolute sense. We need to look at obesity as a symptom of something else. It is
right.
That's why I have a hard time with the disease idea here. It
Me
is a
too.
Symptom of something else. And that could be a relationship, a broken relationship with family members. It could be a broken relationship with God. And the good news is, and you have said this often on this program, the good news is that when we have that relationship with God, there's an extra benefit that comes along with that. God is able to turn around and pour into us the power needed to make the tough choices, to make the changes, mm-hmm. to change our habits. There is power in a relationship with God. Am I on the right track?
Yes. God creates this new brain, this new desires. He actually changes us, these neural pathways. And when he does that, we change. That we're doing things for the right reasons. We're not, you know, if you lose weight just to look good and to do this, is that really the right reason?
Yeah.
We want to do things for the right reasons.
Exactly.
And this relationship with God helps us do things over the long term. It's not a quick fix. We know that not everyone can do everything, but God's going to love us no matter where we're at on this healing journey, and that he's promises, even if we can't lose all the way, we can't do everything perfect, as long as we're in that relationship with him, he's promised at some point to give healing.
I need a prayer happening here, Dr. Markham. Would you pray for our listeners who are in this valley of decision right now, who are trying to say, I want to be healthy, I don't want to be obese, but I can't do it on my own. Would you pray for them?
Absolutely. Dear Father in heaven, there's some out there that struggle with carrying extra weight, and they want to do something, and they want to start anew, and they want to avoid some of these problems, and some of them might have these problems, Father. But at this point, Father, I want to pray a prayer on their behalf, that they come into a relationship with you, and that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, change them, teach them the things that they need to do, and slowly, Father, give them the power to make positive health changes in their lives as that relationship with you continues to grow. This is our prayer for everyone out there, Father, that needs you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that relationship begins with understanding there is a God, talking to the God in prayer, reading about the God in the Bible, and inviting that God into your heart. And that's what I wish for everyone listening right now. Thank you, Dr. James Markham, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on, Charles.
And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with cardiologist Dr. James Markham, inviting you, yes, you, to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.